And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the situation in Israel with the various bomb attacks that have happened against Israel by the Palestinian Muslims. And I can tell you from my own research years ago when we worked on a film called The New Barbarians, did the editing for that film, and saw just hours and hours of footage of what goes on with Palestinian Islamic television, how they brainwash their kids from a very early age and teach them to hate the Jewish people, to believe that Jewish people are apes and pigs, literally. You would have to see it and hear it. And if you go online and you start looking for these video clips, you'll be able to find them. But and teach kids from a very early age that their ambition should be to kill the Jews. I mean, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's unbelievable. I don't think I would have believed it if I hadn't seen it. But that is the situation. And so having a discussion about how Israel needs to be somehow or other reasonable or come up with some kind of a peace agreement with the Palestinian Muslims, when all attempts at doing that have only been for the purpose, at least from the Palestinian Muslim purpose, of allowing the Palestinian Muslims more access to Israelis so they can do them harm. That's their purpose. They have no sincere intention of establishing some kind of peaceful conclusion to anything that's going on in that region. That's what we have to understand as we're watching this conflict. Yasser Arafat said, back when he was alive and he was the PLO leader for many years, and he said quite plainly, "Peace for us," he said, "means the destruction of Israel and nothing else." That we've got to remember. We have to remember that from their perspective. They're not looking for some kind of a peace treaty of some kind. They're looking for an advantage so they can strike against the Jewish people and do them harm. Of course, we believe that much of this is in fulfillment of Psalm 83, where the scripture says, "Keep not silence, O God, for lo, thine enemies." Yeah, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still," is Psalm 83, verse 1. "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, 'Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.' For they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee." Then it goes on to describe the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarenes, Gabal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines. Philistine, that's where we get the word Palestine or Palestinian. Goes on, it says, "They have consented together with one consent, who said, 'Let us take ourselves the houses of God in possession.'" Okay? And it says, "They are confederate against thee." This is sometimes called the Arab Confederacy. But it goes back to ancient times, brothers and sisters. This goes back thousands of years. And that is what we're reading there in Psalm chapter 83. That is an ancient conflict that is continuing in the world we live in today. And that is what we're watching right there on the news when we're seeing all these stories about the Palestinians firing all these rockets into Israel and continually assaulting the Jewish people. In fact, if you go and type in Palestinian rocket attacks on Israel, they have a whole list of attacks just in the year 2021. I mean, now they've got this whole history. They go back to 1975 and so on, 2007, 2008 and 9, 2010, 2011, 12, 13. I mean, just, you know, one year after another. And then they have a special article for the list of Palestinian rocket attacks on Israel in 2021, this year. And it begins by saying this list is incomplete. So it's not a complete list, but they're still listing attacks in January. On 18 January, two rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip and fell in open areas near Ashdod. And then on the 20th of January, another rocket was fired. Sorry. Then in April, there were four rocket attacks in April. On April 23rd, 36 rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip. Okay. Then in May, we're in the month of May, even now, on 9 May, six rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip, of which two were intercepted by the Iron Dome, etc. Between May 10th and May 18th, during the 2021 Israel-Palestine crisis, more than 3,440 rockets were fired toward Sderot, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Jerusalem, and other communities. 10 Israelis were killed. More than 90% of the rockets heading toward populated areas were intercepted by the Iron Dome. Now, the Iron Dome is basically Israel's air missile defense system, where they have rockets that are prepared to intercept the short-range rockets that come from the Palestinians. And so they're actually very, very effective. I mean, they're suffering very few casualties in proportion to the amount of rockets that are being fired against the Israelis. I mean, it's really remarkable. But praise the Lord that lives are being spared in spite of all this conflict. But just to follow up on this article, by 21 May, it says, when a ceasefire came into effect, at least 4,000 rockets had been fired from the Gaza Strip towards Israel. So this is an ongoing conflict. It's a conflict that goes into ancient times and has followed the world and civilization all the way into modern times. This is what we're reading about in Zechariah chapter 12. In the last days, says God, that he would make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the nations round about. But in fact, here, let's read it. Okay, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, the reason I don't accept spiritualized interpretations of those verses is because of the reference to both Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, I generally agree with the Reformed view of the Israel of God. I believe the Israel of God is, in fact, the church. I believe it is made up of believers who are both Jewish and Gentile, all of whom believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe is the Israel of God. However, this is not mentioning Israel within that context. This is talking about the siege against Jerusalem and Judah. Judah is a very specific reference to the Jewish people. Now, could that also have a greater understanding and meaning when we talk about Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? The scepter will not depart from the tribe of Judah. Could that have something to do with it? Well, there are many Christians in that region who are also being persecuted. There are Christians who live in that territory under the authority of the state of Israel. And they are certainly affected to some extent by this. But it's a siege both against Jerusalem and Judah and against Jerusalem. And verse 3, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." I mean, just think about the nature of this prophecy. When in the history of the world was Jerusalem, the city, a cup of trembling to all the nations round about? And then in verse 6, we read, "In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." Now that sense of the governors of Judah devouring the people, it appears, based on other commentaries concerning this, so this is a reference to the governors of Judah fighting against the enemies of the Jewish people, which is something that has happened since 1948, immediately after the new state of Israel was declared. There was an attempt by all of these Arab countries, these Muslim countries, to invade and to annihilate the new state of Israel. But Israel, by the grace of God, we believe, and with the help of God, certainly, was able to turn the tables on her enemies, defeat them, put them down, and establish her national sovereignty. And this has continued to this day. This conflict has gone on from then right up until this very hour. And now we're seeing the Biden administration intervening and calling for this ceasefire that has really helped, hasn't really helped the Jewish people. It really helps Hamas, and it helps these Islamic thugs that want to annihilate Israel, because Israel had them on the ropes. Really, Israel should go in and finish off Hamas. They should follow what David says in the Old Testament: "I pursued my enemy and I put him down so that he could not rise again." That's how they need to fight against Hamas, I believe. Because, and that's according to what God commands his people over and over again in the scripture, that if you're going to fight in a war against an enemy, you put them down so that they can't get up again, so they cannot recover themselves. That's how you fight them. But now they're being compelled to this ceasefire, which really works in favor of Hamas. And perhaps most shocking in all of this is that there are now pro-Palestinian protests across the United States of America. We have people in places like New York and elsewhere that are engaging in the same kind of violence that we've seen with Black Lives Matter, but now over the so-called occupation. They're holding up signs saying things like "end the occupation" and "free Palestine," etc. They're calling Israel an apartheid state. Apartheid, why? Why are they calling it an apartheid state? Well, they're trying to make the association with South Africa, obviously, which has been universally condemned by the media, by mainstream media. Of course, most people don't understand what was going on in South Africa. And in fact, we're coming up here on a commercial break. What we're going to do is we're going to go to our commercial break, and then we're going to talk about this comment, because this is a comment that was made by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about Israel as an apartheid state. And there are those who believe that her comment set off certain riots that went on in New York. Okay? But it's very, very disturbing to see this radical, socialist, and Islamic alliance at work in our country, the United States of America. This is the Red-Green Axis. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the situation with Israel, with Palestine, and with the jihad in America, which we're going to be getting more to as we move forward in this storyline, because there's a disturbing development where now the Biden administration apparently is going to have Muslims are going to be part of the investigation into bigotry and bias in our military to find out where there might be racism or white supremacy or anything like that in the military. And so they're going to have Muslims that are operating as consultants to make sure that there's no anti-Islamic Islamophobia or whatever going on in the U.S. military. That ought to be a disturbing reality for all Americans, because there's no way around it. Islam is very, very militant. And the idea that they're in any way going to be given some kind of control or influence over the U.S. military is a very disturbing idea. It just absolutely should not happen, should not be allowed to happen. I even question whether or not Muslims should be allowed to serve in the U.S. military during this time in history. Because since 9/11, there's no way around it. There is a conflict. There is an open, ongoing conflict between Christianity in the Western world and Islam in many other parts of the world. There's no question about that. Pretending it does not exist, that's all the sophistry of Jesuits, socialists, communists, etc. They keep redefining this. And let's remember, let's not forget that the Jesuits have at Georgetown University their Bridge Initiative that is completely dedicated to convincing everybody that there's no problem with Islam. The problem is the bigotry of Americans. Anybody else that questions Islam has Islamophobia. That's the whole focus of the Bridge Initiative. It's set up to seem like some kind of Well, let's all get along. Let's have a bridge, and you know, we'll all come together and discuss our differences and do so peaceably. It sounds like that, but that's not really what they end up doing if you research it. And we've talked about that on this program before. Now, here's a story posted on Axios.com, and it says, in photos, protests in U.S. across the world over Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And these are recent photos. And they're showing photos in Washington, D.C. of these pro-Palestinian protesters. They've got protesters in Jerusalem. They've got them in Boston. They've got them in Paris, France. They've got Brooklyn, New York. They have Toronto, Canada. These are just the photos now. Houston, Texas. Berlin, Germany. Here's a photo in Los Angeles. One in London. More in Boston, and then in Athens, Greece. These are just the photos. So it may be that there are protests going on in other countries and cities and so on. But think about that in conjunction with Zechariah chapter 12. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. That is very, very powerful. Now, of course, we don't believe that Israel is going anywhere. We don't believe the state of Israel is going to be somehow or other overturned. We don't believe that the Jewish people are going to be driven out of this land going forward. And the reason is because of prophecy. In particular, Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, where in verse 14, the scripture says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, meaning to cause to cease the captivity of my people Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. We talk about this in our film Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, how the land of Israel has just flourished since the Jewish people returned, since the nation of Israel has been restored, and they've done all of these things. They planted vineyards, they're drinking the wine of them, they make gardens, they eat the fruit of them, etc. And so verse 15, God says, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So that they would no more be pulled up out of the land. Now, here is a commentary on this verse from John Gill. John Gill and his commentaries on the Bible, Gill, who he's one of my favorite Reformed Protestant ministers who wrote commentaries about prophecy and so on. I don't necessarily always agree with Gill, but I love reading his commentaries because I love learning what the church and what believers and teachers and so on believed about prophecy in centuries past, prior to the late 1800s when you get to John Nelson Darby and dispensationalism and all this other kind of stuff, which is where things changed dramatically. But the church prior to Darby did not believe a lot of the Darbyite doctrines. So here's what Gill says on verse 15. Where God says, I will plant them upon their land, etc. He says, the land of Israel as trees are planted, and they shall take root and flourish and abound with all good things, temporal and spiritual. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Gill says, quote, by which it appears that this is a prophecy of things yet to come. Now remember, Gill is writing back in the 1700s. So he's writing several hundred years before the rebirth of the state of Israel in 1948. And there were, and I've talked about this many times, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, there were Reformed Protestant teachers hundreds of years prior who foresaw the return of the Jewish people to their ancient homeland. And they wrote about it. John Gill is one of them. And so this is what he says. He says, This, it appears, is a prophecy of things yet to come, since the Jews, upon their return to their own land after the Babylonian captivity, were pulled up again and rooted out of it by the Romans, and remain so to this day. But when they shall return again, they will never more be removed out of it. And of this they may be assured, because it is the land the Lord has given them, and it shall not be taken away from them any more. Okay, so that was John Gill's understanding, about 300 years ago, roughly. And he, like many of the Puritans, he foresaw that one day through prophecy now, remember, he's studying the same Bible we are, through prophecy he understood that, yes, this was a scripture that it had not yet been fulfilled, because it foretold the return of the Jewish people to their land. Now, we must also acknowledge the alternative view that you find, for example, in the pulpit commentary. The pulpit commentary was written over a number of decades during the 19th century. It's a very, very popular commentary. I like it very much. And it's one of the different resources that I look to when I'm studying different passages in the Bible. So their explanation of verse 15 is slightly different, where it says they shall no more be pulled up. The commentary says, quote, "This was not true of the literal Israel. It must be taken of the spiritual seed planted in God's land, the church of Christ, against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. Lo, says Christ, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's their view. So they believe in a spiritual interpretation of it. Now, personally, I think both apply, because it's true. The church, those who come to salvation through faith in Christ, are not going to be pulled up from Christ. Christ, who says, "I know my sheep know my voice, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," the Lord says. So that seems to be the application given by the pulpit commentary. However, I find John Gill's commentary fascinating, and it appears to be the correct one, because he was able to foresee that, yes, one day, even though it would be hundreds of years after Gill lived upon the earth, that one day, yes, that promise would be fulfilled for the Jewish people, and they would be restored to their land yet again, and from that time onward, they would not be removed from the land the Lord has given them. So we're watching prophecy one way or another, brothers and sisters. We are watching it unfold in our country and in the world, even as we speak. It is a fascinating time to be alive. Praise the Lord. But we continue in prayers for our nation. We have to. Why? Because while we live in a really exciting time of history, it's also an increasingly more and more dangerous time, because we recognize that these powers of tyranny and oppression are at work in our country, and they are stronger now than they ever have been in our lifetimes. And just 10, 20 years ago, I think most people could not have imagined that socialism would have gained such an upper hand in our schools, colleges, universities, and our courts, and yes, in the federal government there in Washington, D.C. But we will continue, and we encourage all believers to continue in prayer for this great nation of ours, and pray that we, as believers in Christ, will be valiant for the Lord's sake, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of God's righteousness upon the earth during our time here. May we be valiant for the truth, and we pray that the Lord's will be done in all. And may God's blessing be upon his people. We ask it and pray it in Jesus' holy name. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.